Good afternoon, and welcome to the birth of a literary art form. My name is Richard Bias, and today we will be talking about the people that changed the newspaper world forever and flourished this style of newspaper that has since changed the way media has been presented. These three major players are William Randolph Hearst, Joseph Pulitzer, and Orson Welles. And the main topic of discussion will be all of them and their connection to yellow journalism. This podcast has been brought to you by Secrets, Sore Throat and Cough. And I don't mean they sponsor us, I just mean that they are keeping me from coughing up a lung while I record this. Now, I want to start with Joseph Pulitzer because he got his newspaper up and running before Hearst did, and he was also older than Hearst and began his newspaper first. Now, Joseph Pulitzer had an experience as an immigrant growing up. He didn't have a lot. He was living in poverty. He got to see firsthand and experience mostly what living without a lot of money to go on. He understood how that lifestyle was, and his mission was to give a voice to the poor. He wanted to help the people on the bottom kind of have a voice in society, because they are members of society. And back when he first started his newspaper in and of itself was just for the rich, addressing political agendas. It wasn't very exciting. The newspaper wasn't for everybody, and he wanted to change that. He wanted to give a voice. And he had this beginning as a reporter for the St. Louis Dispatch, founded in 1864. And he eventually became the owner of this newspaper, and it became very popular due to his bold take on how people titled and formed the newspaper. He put bold headings. He went for accuracy, truth, and telling interesting stories in the newspaper to kind of grab people's attention and get them to want to read his paper. Everybody, not just the rich people at the top. He told many, many different stories of how, of the lives of everyday people. And he always strived for truth. He wanted to expose any political frauds. He wanted to make sure that people knew what was going on. And because of this style, his newspaper gained a whole bunch of traction, and eventually he moved on to New York. And now Pulitzer bought The World in New York, a morning paper, from his financier Jay Gould. And he soon turned the paper into the leading journalistic voice of the Democratic Party in the United States. Pulitzer founded the World's evening counterpart, the Evening World, in 1887. In his newspaper, Pulitzer combined exposés of political corruption, going back to that whole thing about how Pulitzer wanted to make sure that he was spreading truth, and crusading investigations reporting with publicity stunts, blatant self-advertising, and sensationalistic journalism. In an effort to further attract a mass readership, he also introduced such innovations as comics, sports coverage, women's fashion coverage, and illustrations in his newspaper, thus making them vehicles of entertainment as well as information. The World eventually became the top newspaper in New York and had wonderful success. This style of newspaper caught the attention of William Randolph Hearst, a man born into a very, very wealthy family. William Randolph Hearst wanted to accomplish something, and he saw and admired Pulitzer's success in the newspaper business and wanted to bring it to the West Coast. And he started that by inheriting a newspaper from his father called the San Francisco Examiner. Now, one of the main differences between Joseph Pulitzer and William Randolph Hearst was their fundamentals. Pulitzer wanted power to create reforms and get what he set out to get done completed. He was on a mission. He had a list of things that he wanted to accomplish, and he used his newspaper to accomplish those. Hearst wanted power to grow for his own sake. He wanted power just to say that he had power. And I feel like that is where, at their core, you can see how their decisions in running their newspaper, when they ended up going head to head, how their strategies differed in that regard. Hearst was also met with great success in his newspaper by bringing some of the styles of Joseph Pulitzer to the West. And for a long time, Hearst had admired Joseph and derived a lot of his news style from what Joseph was doing. Now, eventually, he also grew out of the San Francisco Examiner and also moved to New York. Now, he was set out to be number one. He wanted to surpass Pulitzer's page count and take over Pulitzer's area of the newspaper. He wanted to be on top. And one of the reasons is of how this changed Pulitzer's strategies is when he ends up colliding with William Randolph Hearst. Now, these two getting into a head-to-head battle, but you now see that their backgrounds come into play here because Hearst has massive amounts of money. He still has money from his father and his mother, while Pulitzer has only the money that he was able to gain from his newspaper, which was still a lot. But Hearst, the first part of his plan was to steal the workers from Pulitzer's newspaper, and he paid them off. So the best reporters that Pulitzer had, the editors, all of Pulitzer's staff ended up going to Hearst, just because Hearst just had this massive amount of money, and he just paid all of them off. And that's kind of what first set the standard for the battle. Another difference that you see between Hearst and Pulitzer is that Hearst is not afraid to quote-unquote stretch the truth. He, a lot of times, over-exaggerated some of his stories, and in one of his biggest stories was the story of the revolution and the rebel girl being held prisoner. This was a story that was not true, but Pulitzer even hired an actor to play the girl to go out in public and announce her story that Hearst had published. And in contrast to Pulitzer, Pulitzer was a lot more, he wanted accuracy in his stories. And when Hearst was coming out with these fake stories and developing yellow journalism, which again, we'll get to that later, it kind of set off Pulitzer and kind of had them go down different paths. A lot of people can say that one of the Spanish-American War of 1898, and a lot of people can hold Hearst accountable for kind of not starting it, but igniting a flame to have a lot of argument in the public about it because of his publishing of these stories that weren't 100% true or even 50% true. But When the Spanish-American War did start, the coverage of that was one of the main battles between Hearst and Pulitzer. And you see Pulitzer start to kind of lose some of that 100% accuracy in his stories and kind of adopt yellow journalism. And Hearst had many, many advantages in this state. First off, being the previous mentioned, buying off of all of Pulitzer's staff members, but Hearst also made moves like lowering the cost of his newspaper to only one penny, and he had an immense power of making the story an event and involving people in that story. Pulitzer now, again, kind of giving up that sense of accuracy. And then in February of 1998, the attack of the USS Maine, that was the beginning of the Spanish-American, well, not the beginning, but that's kind of what set a whole bunch of people off after the buildup of Hearst's newspaper. The reason that Pulitzer had to kind of change the way he wanted to sell his newspaper was mostly because he was falling behind in sales, so he had to let go of that previously mentioned accuracy that he was like so proud of and really wanted to spread. Another player in this battle during the Spanish-American War were newsies, which were the boys that went out and sold the newspaper in the morning, and they represented the world that Pulitzer left behind, which was kind of ironic in how when Pulitzer and Hearst tried to cover the cost of covering the Spanish-American War, they both raised the prices for the newsies and don't give them refunds if they didn't sell all of the newspaper that they got. And in the end, they both end up coming to an agreement that they have to overcome this challenge and together make an agreement not to make these rash decisions on the newsies, because they ended up going on strike and they weren't getting enough circulation. So they backed down on their previously mentioned rules to try to cover the costs. Pulitzer felt guilty after what had happened with the newsies. And so to atone for his role in the newsies strike, he donates $2 million to the Columbian University. And now we're going to start and kind of shift the conversation to Orson Welles, which was the person behind the quote-unquote legendary broadcast of the War of the Worlds, which not just once, but three times fooled people when it was broadcasted. Now, this kind of takes on the form of yellow journalism, because a lot of like the news reporters who heard it exacerbated the story and the effects of how War of the Worlds took on people. And it also kind of shows you how easily people can be tricked into believing certain facts. How, you know, this play that was supposed to be a play and was announced as a play, announced as a play in the very beginning, shifted and was seen as true, and a whole bunch of people thought that, you know, the world was going to end and they were going to die. Orson Welles also was a director behind the movie Citizen Kane, which kind of circles around to the Pulitzer versus Hearst, because Citizen Kane was based on the life of William Randolph Hearst. This movie was later on seen as a humongous filmmaking success, and it was a commercial flop, but later on in retrospect, people saw it as a great shot movie with a lot of very good elements in it. Now, the style of yellow journalism actually comes from a cartoon called The Yellow Boy, which was originally directed towards Asian immigrants, which was it was shots towards the massive influx of Asian immigrants. Now, yellow journalism is still seen today in a multitude of fake articles and just you can see all of these like politically derived lies and over exaggerations of events that are happening today. So you can see how the beginning of yellow journalism kind of set off this long ongoing style of over exaggerating the truth, and you know, not and just trying to get the clicks in. A lot of times on these more modern fake news ad sites, you see stuff like you just see them piled with ads, because at this point they're just trying to get the clicks for you to click on their website. All of these basically kind of what Joseph Pulitzer and Hearst were doing with their big titles in newspaper. You know, the modern term now would be, you know, oh, president caught doing drugs in such and such place, to try to get you to click on the website so that they can get the revenue from the ads that they put on there. Although a great another example of yellow journalism today is The Onion, which is kind of a more sarcastic approach to yellow journalism, which has a lot of like sarcasm and making fun of these absurd news articles that are going around. So I believe that is going to do it for this podcast. It was all right recording this. My name is Richard Bias, and that'll be it. See you.